Let's look at Mark chapter 1:15. We have been looking at this for the last three Sundays because we're doing a little bit of a focus on the kingdom of God. It says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Let's pray together. Let's bow before the Father and let's tell the Father that we love him today. We gather here today to do this. Not like we haven't done it already, but we are pointedly going to do it now in prayer. Our heart to his heart, we tell him that we love him. And then let our prayer move to being grateful and thankful. You know, I don't know about you. I've complained about the snow with the ice and the snow on the ice. You know, it's layered out there right there. And I just felt the Lord say to me, what are you thankful for, Jeff? And I just had to stop and give the things I was thankful for. So let's give thanks. We enter this building with thanksgiving. Our hearts are overflowing with thanksgiving. It's who we are. It's who he's made us. So give thanks for who the Lord is, what he does, how he reveals to you, how he leads you through. He's there for us. He's with us. Then we take a time to pray for other people who overlap into our lives. Some of them have been diagnosed with dreadful diseases, treatments, a journey. Some, they're seasonal illnesses. They need our prayers, both. There are people who just need to know the Lord. They just don't know him. They're lost in direction. Their souls are lost in wondering. There are people who need spiritual guidance and who need help with the emotional baggage that they carry. People who need help financially, not just to get them through another week, but to rearrange their lives financially. There are people who need godly, Christ-centered, truth-telling relationships. So pray for these people. Lift them up to our Heavenly Father. Pray for the nations. No matter how large or small your church is, we pray for the nations. God has swept nations, biblical history, recent history. He has and he can. Pray for nations to be saved, to know the Lord. You know of many, from Russia and Ukraine to all the unrest in the Middle East, and praying for the peace of Jerusalem mandated by Scripture in the Psalms. We pray for our nations. We pray for God to sweep these nations. We pray for peace, and don't ever quit praying for peace. One of the greatest sermons ever preached, the Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and the daughters of God. Pray for our nation, that our hearts return to him once again. Strategically and simply, our lives turn to him once again. Pray your blessing over those around you, just literally sitting around you right now. Pray a blessing over them. Pray a blessing over your family, wherever they may be. We've taken an offering electronically, and some of you brought it to the storehouse. Either way, you all brought it to the storehouse. And pray a blessing over that. We exist every day for nothing other reason to advance the gospel and his kingdom. So pray a blessing over the gifts today. And then outside of an offering, there's something much greater as an offering, and that's you. He made you to love you, to use you, and again show his love through you. Say with the words of Isaiah, Lord, here am I, use me, send me. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at me differently. I'm your teacher and your preacher on me. is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room, and I know that, and I accept that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. It's a good day. Oh, and I want to be a prophet up here. It's going to thaw this week. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all even listening? No amens over the thaw coming. I mean, I said in early service, we're going to be handing out sunscreen out in the lobby as you leave, you know. So, man, I don't know about you, but I sure can't wait to see grass and blacktop and concrete, you know. I'm telling you. This is our last Sunday to focus on this little focus we've been having on the kingdom. Not that we won't ever mention it again, but starting next Sunday, we're prepping for Lent season. And during Lent, we practice the Christian version of Lent. Lent only, it means a number. We'll get into that. There's nothing super spiritual about that word. But we use Matthew 6 to deal with praying and generosity and fasting. And then we wrap our lives around that during the Lent season. So really the biggest thing you need to be, you start thinking about is what you're doing that you're fasting for Lent will probably be your biggest decision. So start thinking about that. Next Sunday, Lent starts on Wednesday, February the 18th. And on that night, we're having a service here, a regular service, and we'll be handling what Lent is, and it becomes a season of repentance. And we'll be handling that. Then we'll be marking and blessing you after that service, if that's what you choose. And we pray a blessing over you individually and as your families. So I hope you're excited about the season coming up. I told you I'm going back to basics and simple things on Sundays during the Lent season, that I'm going to be handling that process of salvation, which is regeneration when you're saved. And then we're going to be handling justification, sanctification, glorification, big old church words, but we'll break those down because that's, you need to know those steps because we're all in them. Okay. When I say I'm going back to basics, I'm not assuming that you have your Sunday school knowledge. I'm not assuming that you read scripture all the time. And we're going back to learning that on those Sunday mornings. On Wednesday nights during Lent, we're going to be handling like the liberating grace. We're going to be handling grace, sufficient grace. And we're going to be dealing with that through the weeks. And then also a time of prayer. Now, not the old school Southern Baptist prayer where people are spitting out requests, okay? But a very focused time of prayer together. So I hope you go ahead and make adjustments to be here for that. Comzo's going on simultaneously. Students are going on simultaneously. And we'll be doing that all the way up to Holy Week, okay? So try to make your adjustments when it comes to that. I really want you to be a part of that. I'm excited about it. I hope that you become excited about it too. Here's some background about the kingdom of God. This is the first sermon Jesus ever preached. And he said, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is here. So a little bit of a background, just a reminder that the kingdom of God is here and now, it's present and forever. Please remember, it's not geographical. It's not some castle with this vast acreage that is there. It's not that. It's the rule of God in your heart. That's where the kingdom of God is. So we're going to give you two things today about the kingdom. One is the kingdom of God has expression. That's what we'll handle first. And then the last one and the next one will be the kingdom of God has power. So look at Romans 14, 17. This has to do with the kingdom of God having expression. Paul wrote this. He said, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I think it's strange that he mentions in here eating and drinking. Now, he's got a reason for it, and we're going to break that down and pull that out. But it is, if you read the previous chapters, he's talking about eating and drinking. But he says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not what it is. And Paul is presenting two worlds here, and I want to break that down for you. There's the eating and drinking world. which is the external world, okay, if you want to look at it. So that's world number one, external. And then there's righteousness, peace, and joy, which would be the internal or even the eternal world. So there's two worlds in this one verse. There's an external world that has to do with eating and drinking. There's an internal and an eternal world that has to do with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And even though you might think it's weird that he mentions eating and drinking, I think he does it with a very specific purpose. And he says the kingdom is not that. It's not external. The kingdom of God is inward, but it's not external. Now, how much of us and how many of us do we spend so much time on the kingdom of God in an external way? You know, it's all about what I have, what I get. You know, if you'll just stop, it'll be imagery. It's an old saying for me, probably not with you who are younger, but the keeping up with the Joneses. It is to let people know I'm successful. I want to show ways that I'm successful and you know, that I've engineered my life or whatever, you know. And it is, the kingdom of God is not external, is what he means by eating and drinking. It's not the fleshy part of us. That's not the kingdom of God at all. And we have to watch that. We have to check that, because he says that's secondary. What's primary is the kingdom of God, is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's primary to us. And even going to Matthew 6:33, this verse, many of you all know this. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's primary. Now just stop, okay? Let's just stop for a moment. The kingdom of God is more important than your career. It's more important than your income, than the way you make a living. It's more important than that. Good, go make a living. Go make a good living. But then use that for the kingdom of God. What's first is not the external. What's first is the internal and the eternal. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's the first place in my life. It's before my wife, before my kids, before you all. It's before everything. And the king in that kingdom is number one in my life. Not number two, not top five. He doesn't hold that place. He's never number two in somebody's life. He's either first place or he's nothing. Period. He's not satisfied to be your top five. It's not it. Colossians 1 said he's the preeminence of God. He's the number one in our life. So we've got to see that. Eating and drinking, all that external stuff is secondary. What's primary is the kingdom of God. And as we dig into Romans 14:17, if you go back to that verse, what's important for you to be able to see here is that there's righteousness, peace, and joy. Internal, eternal is there. And we rejoice in that. But here's the beauty of that. This is a rhythm that we need to be in. We're in the rhythm of external. That's what we're in the rhythm of. Absolute rhythm of that. We got to switch to the rhythm of our life is righteousness and peace and joy. Righteousness is everything's right between me and the Lord. It means I've settled it. It's settled among me, between me and the Lord. It's all been settled. The peace part is I'm at peace with him because it's settled, right? And then I'm at peace with other people. And even scripture says, as much as possible, live at peace with everyone, as much as possible. And then it brings joy. The joy that is there, and I said this in the early service, don't you just sometimes hate those people that are just so bubbly? You know what I'm saying? They're just always so joyful. And I don't mean that you actually hate them, but what I really mean is you wish you were more like them. The joy comes from everything being right with God and being at peace with God, because that's where I want to make my peace first. Then it all infiltrates into every other relationship of my life. And the joy comes from seeing God work. People come to me and they'll go, man, you'll never believe what God did. I go, well, of course I do. That's what I do. You know, I believe that God does. And I rejoice with you. I rejoice because it's what he reveals to you and how he ministers to you, manifests himself to you, and leads you through just brings affirmation into what I already believe in him. You've got your stories. I've got my stories of how God has led us through and what he has done. But I rejoice in your stories, but it also brings affirmation to what he's already done in my life too. And I rejoice in that because I see him work. So there's joy in being able to see him work, not only in my life, but to be able to see him work in your life as well. So this joy brings this yes feeling. You know, when you're telling me a God story, I'm going, yes. You know, it's happened to me too. And I'm so glad that it's happening to you and you're able to experience him. There's people who are going, preacher, I hate to tell you this, but I really felt the Lord manifested himself to me the other day. And I mean, we're telling it like it's secret. You know, it's like, you know, and I'm going, no, I believe that he manifests himself to you. You know, I believe that he does those things. And I'm glad to hear that he has done these things in your life. So the yes feeling is the joy. So the kingdom of God is not external, it's internal and eternal. And it's righteousness and peace and joy. I want you to look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23 for a moment. You know this, we reference it often. But this is who we are, the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say fruits, plural, it says it's singular. And even though there's just great listing in two verses, it's still singular. It's all that the, this is who we are. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Go to verse 23. Against such things, there is no law or policy or checkoff list. You know, this is who we are. And you can look at that list. Go back to verse 22, if you will. It's the beginning of it. You go and you look at that list and you go, well, I'm going to get to those soon. You know, I'm going to check one or two. No, this is not a to-do list. This is a list I'm either doing or have done. It's not a get-to list. It's not a to-do list. It's I'm doing these things or I've done these things. Because it's how the Spirit works. If you go back to Romans 14, 17, it says this righteousness and this peace and this joy is through the Holy Spirit. And in verse Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says the fruit of the Holy Spirit are those things that we just read. And it's not, I'm going to get to it later list. It is, I am doing this, or I have already done these things, and I practice them in my life. So it is about doing. I've sometimes heard preacher go, it's about being and not doing. I totally disagree with that. Because God's word says, do these things. Jesus has even said, these things you've seen in me do, you go do them. Do those things. So the picture that I want you to see about doing is in James 1, 22 through 25. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word, excuse me, and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25, but the one who looks intently into the freedom or the perfect law of freedom, which is scripture, and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does. Now hang on. Hearing is where we begin. Faith comes by hearing, hearing from the word of God. How are they going to hear without a preacher? Jesus teaches in the gospels, he who has an ear, let him hear, right? That's where it all starts. We're not avoiding that step. It's where it begins. But then something happens. We no longer are hearing. We've switched to doing. We do the kingdom. We're participating in the kingdom. We're applying that in our life. And it doesn't say that the hearer is blessed, even though that's where it begins. He says the doer. The doer is the one who becomes blessed. So it's got to be about doing, which leads us to the next one. That is about the kingdom of God has expression. This next one is about the kingdom of God has power. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:20 for just a moment. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What kind of power? Well, one of the words in the New Testament for power is dunamis, which is the word we get dynamite from, meaning power, explosive power. But then there's another word that means authority. And we're really talking about both power and authority in your life. And I'm convinced that this power is the resurrection power. I'm convinced that the power that raised Jesus from the dead was not like this laser beam power that's just meant for him in that moment. I believe the power of the resurrection is who we are. It's how we live. It's how we've gotten through the last few days. It's how people have gotten through without having power for multiple weeks. It looks like as they continue, some of them down south. It's how we get through very difficult times in our life. I mean, when I say that Derek and Garrett and Jacqueline are a part of our life, they are a part of our life, and I can't help when I see them sometimes to just think about how they were best friends with Laura and Tom and participated in his funeral, participated in Andrew's wedding to Maria, and have been there since they were little kids, you know? I can't help but think that, and how God uses those people to even lead you through very difficult times of our lives. What gets us through? The resurrection power of God. What saved you? The resurrection power of God. You were dead and then you were brought to life. John 5:24, you've crossed over from death to life. And what did that? What did that? It's the resurrection power of God, both his power and his authority. We'll see that in just a moment. But it's more, as this verse says, it's more than just talking about it. It's living under that power and under that authority. Leon Morris said that we've got to quit looking at the kingdom of God as just giving good advice. We think it's just good, you know what? Well, here's what's going on. Let me give you some good advice about the kingdom of God. It's more than that. It's power. We got to be able to live under the power and the authority that is given us, and that we talk way too much about it. Paul Ellingworth and his co-writer, who's a guy named Howard Hatton, he wrote that, he said, God's rule is shown in the lives of people by what they do rather than what they say. Our words today are actions speak louder than words. And let me just tell you, you can cover your car with Jesus bumper stickers. And you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Because the kingdom of God is not talk. It's not even the external. It's righteousness and peace and joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's how the world's going to know that you and God have settled it. It's all settled. I live not in a rhythm of external stuff, but I live in the rhythm of the Holy Spirit, which is righteousness and peace and joy. And it's Galatians 5:22-23. I would rather live in that rhythm than the rhythm of an external world. And our problem is we're living in the rhythm of an external world. And all we do as preachers and scripture does and the Lord does in his manifestation and the Holy Spirit does in his guiding is just to get you out of that worldly rhythm and get you into a kingdom of God rhythm, which produces righteousness and peace and joy. You got that? If you haven't, I'll probably say it again before it's all over with. I'm reading a book called by David Pryor. It's called Jesus and Power. And it's one book out of about 12 or 13 books referred to as the Jesus Library. Very hard to get books, but it's edited by one of my favorite authors, a guy named Michael Green. And in reading David Pryor's book, Jesus and Power, he said the Western church has got it backwards. He said they have this verse backwards, meaning us. We would be the Western church. He said, the reason we have it backwards is because we are denying the power of God. He said, here's the way the Western church says it. Says the kingdom of God is not power, but talk. We talk about it way too much. You got to do it. Discipling people is hard. It's not easy. Your schedules don't match. All kinds of things come together. I mean, it's hard, it's not convenient, never will be convenient. It's never been convenient, it's never going to be convenient. It'll be hard work for you to pour into the lives of other people as you live this life here, but we're called to make disciples. And it's hard. It's hard, but you still got to do it. You can come to me and talk about how hard it is, and I'm going to go, yes, I agree, but you still got to go do it. You know, I hate to take out the trash. I don't know if there's anybody in here with me. I hate to take it out. On Thursday night, we get ready for trash day on Friday morning. And I swear I say this all. I said, Jilly, is it already trash day again? And I mean, but am I going to take it out? Yes. Do I enjoy it? Do I get up Thursday morning going, man, honey, I can't wait till this evening and I take out the trash. I'm not whistling. I'm not singing when I take out the trash. Ask me if I throw around that Herbie a little harder than it should be. You know, but I still have to do it. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not talk, it's power. And you've got to do it and you live it. I've believed this simply, that what you learn from this sermon today, you need to go this afternoon and start applying it to your life. When you see something in a devotion, and you see it's something you need to do, I believe it's meant for you to do it automatically. I don't believe it's for you to think, well, I might do it. I believe when you hear your favorite podcast preacher or your social media preacher or whoever you listen to, and it's all out there, and I will tell you to be careful with some of those, but in that picture, if it's the Word of God, then how do I start implementing this into my life? Because we'll sit and talk about it, but we got to do it. It's the power of God. Like even a church service, I want you here. I believe in the gathering. Book of Hebrews says it ought to be a habit. Some are in the habit of not going. He said it ought to be a habit to go. You need this. We need the gathering. We need the charge. We need all that is here, but it's only part of it. The gathering is important, but it's only just a little fraction of it. It's our living on mission. It's the kingdom. It's not just information gathering. Like, man, did you hear this? Did you see that? Well, that's fine. But if you're not applying it to your life, what good has it done? I mean, it's literally, and you're going, well, Jeff, you're asking me to apply all this stuff in my life. Y'all order some of the craziest stuff to make your life better or healthier. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I bought into these high protein Pop-Tarts. You know what I'm saying? don't we? I mean, I'm telling you, you know, and I'll see something. And it could be a snake oil salesman, you know, and I'm going, you know, that might work. I remember when I used to wear a copper bracelet. Do you remember where those copper bracelets used to help your arthritis? And the golfers got to wearing them, and it said it added 20 yards to your drive. I ordered one of them. And when I outdrove Andrew, I took a picture of it and put it on social media. You know, I'm just telling you, I did do that. But, you know, we'll look at all these gimmicks and all these things, and we'll try them in just like that. But when it comes to the kingdom of God and learning, you know, I pray for your finances to be in order, your finances to be in order. God says, live off 90% and don't live off 100%. And some of y'all are going, eh. And I'm telling you, you'll live greater off 90 than you will the whole 100. You know, but you don't believe that. But you got to watch him. It's the only place in scripture that he says, test him. It's when it comes to finances. Only place. He said, test me, try me in this. And watch what I do. Because then you'll go out here and go, oh, that preaching to church is all about money. I'm trying to tell you, God's portfolio has a greater blessing in your 90% than it does if you keep the whole 100. That's what I'm just trying to tell you. And learn to trust him in that. You see, you knew I was going to get to preaching about money somewhere down the long line, didn't you? But I just want you to see that. It becomes difficult. You look at it and go, it's difficult. But yet you'll spend more than your tithe money on all this junky stuff that tries to make you hit a golf ball longer. I mean, I'm just saying, it's not the external. The kingdom of God is not the external. It's not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is internal and eternal. It's righteousness and peace and joy. I'd rather live in that rhythm with the Holy Spirit than live in an external rhythm. This external rhythm is killing us, guys. Let's just be honest. The pace of it is killing us, literally. We're not getting rest. Mental health's going through the roof. We're not doing Sabbaths. We're not doing a lot of things because you and I are living to the rhythm of an external world. And God says the kingdom of God is not external. The kingdom of God is internal, righteousness, peace, and joy. And it is eternal as well. I hope you can see that today. So our living is a mission. And the kingdom, it has power. Power to change lives, restore them, redirect them. He did mine. You know, I can't talk about that enough. It changes, his power can change nations. That's why we've prayed. Biblical history. Recent history, God has swept nations. Cultures and societies are changed by the kingdom of God. Political systems are derailed and overpowered by the kingdom of God. Let me remind you that when Jesus sent the 12, the disciples out after his ascension, they went to some of the greatest cities of power, economic power, political power, military power. He sent them there to carry one message about the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus, and sent them right into the middle of it. It changes those. I want to remind you real simply today that when you go and you commune with God, and the way we do it is through the person of the Father. When you do that, you are talking to the most powerful person alive, the most resourceful person alive. You and I are in awe when they shut down interstates for presidents. But I'm telling you, when you spend time with God the Father, you're spending time with the most resourceful and the most powerful person that has ever lived. You need to understand that. The enemy's going to tell you no. But you've got to get to the picture of that. In Romans 14:17 that we handled first, I want you to see the rhythm. The external is eating and drinking. The internal and the eternal, that rhythm is righteousness and peace and joy. I want you to see how this happens through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20, it's not talk. We can sit around and talk about the kingdom of God all the time, but you got to do it. It's power. It's power. It's got the power to do all kinds of things in your life. Let me show you in Acts 1:8, just a picture of that. This is Jesus, and he's telling the disciples before he ascends, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, that's dynamite power, dunamis there, dynamite, explosive power, when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. And all that Jerusalem, do you think the disciples wanted to go back to Jerusalem? No. Do you think they were doing the seven dwarfs whistle while we were going back to Jerusalem? No. Because Jerusalem had just killed Jesus. And they were afraid to go back there because they knew they would be identified too. But where's the first place he sent them? With the kingdom and the power. Sent them right back into Jerusalem. Paul goes to Rome. Wealth, power. Economic power and military power, political power, sends him right in there, goes to Rome. So he's sending them because why? The kingdom of God has power. Power over sin. Guys, do you understand what sin does to you? It will destroy you. It will absolutely destroy you. You can try to hide it, and you're looking at a God that wants to punish you. No, I'm showing you a God who wants to deliver you. It's the power to overcome sin. We have the power to go the other way. Whatever way the world's going, we've got the power to go the other way. We got the power to do the opposite. The world says, trust yourself. Heard something on the radio yesterday. It said that you are God. You don't need anything else. You are God. And I was like, what in the world? We've got the power to trust him when the world's saying that I'm him. You know, you and I are the opposite of that. We trust him. Our faith and trust is in him. When the world says he's not with us, we know that he is with us. When the world says, man, you know, the crisis is not going to do anything for you. It's not going to bless you. God brings beauty from ashes. You know, he can bring good from crisis. And he does do that. We have the power to stand in his authority. And you and I have seen the Holy Spirit do some incredible things in people's lives. And all this goes with our word for 2026. Man, as a pastor, I really want you to find the areas of fear and worry and doubt and all those places in your life. And I want you to invite him. That's our word. Invite him into those places. Say, Lord, I can't handle that. You know, I mean, the storm costs money, you know, to the churches and businesses, to us too. You know, snow removal, a few thousand dollars, multiple times. The ice is pulling the gutters away from the building. There's not a dumb thing we can do about it, but have to put gutters back on our building, you know. A missed day of Sunday and missed offerings. It just damage repair that we're going to have to do. And I got to thinking about all that yesterday, even posted it to some of our staff. And I just stopped and I said, Lord, I invite you into this. You know, and you and I will go, well, man, he's handling Russia and Ukraine. He's handling Venezuela. He's handling, and you're going, he doesn't want to hear my stuff. You know, there's these great barbecue places that they fix a certain amount of barbecue in the morning, and they're only open till they sell it out, and then they close. Right? You know, and we treat him like that, don't we? Like he's limited. Like, you know, early in the morning his power runs out, his resources run out, and that's just not the way it is. He's unlimited. And he asks us to invite him into these places. Let me just tell you this. If it causes you anxiety and worry and doubt and fear and all those things, even anger and hate and rage, all those things, shame and guilt, all that, then you got to invite him into that. He doesn't want you walking with that either. And man, as a pastor and a shepherd, that's what I want for you. And I know he can do it. But you got to do it. And invite him. He's at the door knocking, wanting to have fellowship and relation with you and just bless you and invite you in. And that's all I'm asking you to do. Quit living with it. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And I pray that you do that today. Our invitation, first and foremost, is for you to surrender today to him. And our counselors will be here to pray with you, for you, or over you. And you may want to come and just even pray with them and say, man, I need to invite him into this place in my life, and I'm doing it today. Our invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, today you come. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your place today down here? The team's going to lead us, and it's just a simple invitation. You come.